bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll look at God's word tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you now. Fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit. If you want me to say it, that I will. If you don't, that I won't. May we draw closer to you as a result of being here, be challenged and changed and encouraged in our walk with you. And Lord, we want all the praise to go to you. Lord, we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I thought tonight, I was a little bit bolder tonight, maybe to do the chorus of that song. Do you know that chorus, Sarah Olivia, of our theme song? You don't have to get up here. You can just sing it from there, if you will. And Ryan and Jason, I want to hear what booming voices you have from the balcony. And Amy, if you would. I'm just going to sing just the chorus, okay? Because it goes right along with what we're saying. All hands on deck, ready to work we are. That's not right, is it? Now you understand my hesitation this morning. Hey, Jason, do you got enough voice to lead us from up there or lead it or sing it? Serve him with your heart, all hands on deck, strong to meet the foe, all hands on deck. Steady as she goes. So that was pretty good. And I'll tell you, Miss Aubrey, which is Roger Grantham, they've both been here to church before with us and spoke for it. She writes these theme songs for camp and did a good job. Jason said, I really liked that one because that was right in my range. So I'm sorry that I messed it up. But all hands on deck. That's what we talked about this morning. All hands on deck. What's that? Well, we kind of use it a little bit. How's that? Now, hopefully the sermon came from God there, Littlefoot. That's enough out of you, young lady. But we talked about, remember, I left the garb up there. I didn't want you to have to go through seeing me in pirate outfit again, but the pirate hat and the sword and the eye patch. But the idea of the camp was all hands on deck, and I thought it was very appropriate. I felt God led me to talk a little bit about that as far as our church. Now, if I say all hands on deck, can you tell me what's the hands? You remember? The sailors, right? And when it says all hands on deck, what's the deck? Yeah, the main part that's over the hull, the flat part that's over the hull of the ship. And who is the admiral of the ship in our analogy this morning? God is the admiral, and who is the captain? If it doesn't do any harm to anybody, you know, probably it'd be like the captain of the ship would be the pastor. And all hands on deck, typically, what generally does that mean? That means that everybody needs to get on deck. Everybody needs to do their job, and it's normally because of what? An emergency. Something is up. Can't you hear the captain saying that in the middle of a storm and they're afraid they're going to go down? So the captain, all hands on deck, and everybody would go and do their duty. And there's a sense of camaraderie there and a sense of duty, as I mentioned, as they go to the deck trying to save the ship, trying to keep the ship afloat. Or there might be some other emergency, but there also might be another ship firing on them with the cannons. And I can hear the captain say, all hands on deck, and everybody's up. And I do believe that our churches are under assault. This morning I talked about all hands on deck, and I'll review that for just a moment. The point number one was all hands on deck. The devil's trying to sink our ship. And we looked at how the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the devil's not your friend. And the devil is not Oak Mound's friend. The devil wants to see us close. The devil wants to see us stop sharing the gospel and quit doing the Easter egg hunt outreach and the fall festival outreach and the fireworks outreach and the Christmas parade and all of the family fun nights and all that. The devil would just as soon us not exist. He wants to devour our individual lives. He wants to devour our families, and he definitely wants to devour our church. And John 8:44, we looked at as well, where the devil is called by Jesus himself a murderer. He's called a murderer and a liar. He is not our friend. And I did not mention that this morning, but the devil's assisted by his demons. Demons, the fallen angels, and also our flesh usually buys in with what the devil says to do, right? And the world. The world definitely is not a friend of the church. When I speak of the world, I'm talking about those out there that do not know the Lord. They just assume the churches would just go belly up. So he's trying to sink our walk with God, our very lives, that is. He's wanting to sink our families, our church, our country, for that matter. And imagine life without Oakmount. So I believe it is time, all hands on deck. We could get serious, so a little more serious. Now, I know that a lot of you are very serious about your walk with God. I know that you're very serious about your commitment to Oakmount. But I don't know about you. I'm just going to tell you where my heart is. If I heard the message preached, I couldn't help myself but come to the altar and say, Lord, I know I can turn it up a notch. I know I can turn it up a notch or two for you. The second thing we looked at today, all hands on deck, we've got lots to accomplish and little time left to do it. You see, we're leaving this world and our ship real soon because the rapture could happen at any moment. And I'm really not trying to be dramatic or trying to say something for appeal. But truthfully, I believe the rapture of the church is right here. I mean, it's just, if the trumpet sounds in the next 5 minutes, I would not be the least bit surprised. You know, sometimes when people tell you something, your mouth drops open, like, I can't believe that. My mouth wouldn't drop open if I hear the trumpet. I'd like, I'm out of here. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, talking about the rapture of the church. And whether the rapture of the church happens in our lifetime or not, we'll be out of this ship real soon by death. If the rapture doesn't take us first, we'll be out of here by death. And we've had quite a few people in our church leave this world in death. But for them, it's really graduation day, so we shouldn't feel sorry for them. But I'm saying it's left some gaps. And we need people. We need people to step up and say, I'll fill that gap. And we need to reach people outside the walls of this church that'll step in and say, I'll fill that gap. I'll do what I need to do. It seems that many times that which is least important, the things of the world, the temporary things, seem to have more of our attention than the important things of God in the local church. And again, at some point, I'm going to preach a whole series of messages on the value of the local church. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the local church. I really do honestly forget the percentage of the New Testament that is written specifically to the local New Testament church. I'll say, you know, if you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I'm going to make a bold statement. I don't have necessarily scripture to back it up other than general principles. If you don't see the priority and are not faithful to the local church, you will not hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because this is the organization that God left for us to be a part of, to minister. And I shared with you, at least in prayer form, that I'd like to see some more ministry started in our church. I mean, some of them that are just right here that I'd love to see happening. But we need people to step up and say, you know, all hands on deck. I'm ready. What do you want me to do, preacher? I'd like to see a visitation program. In some way, shape, or form, a visitation program where we have a list of people to visit, or we might go even door to door and invite people. They're out there. I mean, there's lost people all around us. And I'd like to see that happen, but I don't want to put it in place and then say, okay, we're going to do it. Nobody show up. I mean, our leaders have to be leaders, and our pew sitters got to be leaders, and everybody needs to step up and say, you know what, preacher? I'll do it. Because I want to serve God. I'd like to see gym night at some point for our youth and our kids and our adults. If you think about what God has blessed us with that a lot of churches don't have, it's our facilities. But if we're not using our facilities, and I'd like to use it more. So it's really not, I'm not meaning to be the drawback, but we just don't have the manpower right now. So if someone wants to say, you know what, preacher, I want to set up a gym night. I want to make sure that we make it open. Maybe we'll get some kids from the apartments. Maybe we'll, and we need more than just one person. I mean, we need several people committed to that. I'd like to see that happen at some point, in God's time frame at least. It's right here. Like I say, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see a kids program in some way, shape, or form started other than, junior church and Sunday school. I'd like to see us minister kids, but we need people to step up and say, you know what? All hands on deck. Here I am, preacher. I'm ready. What do you want me to do? Well, would you work with kids? Yeah, I would. Youth program. I'd love to have a youth group. Right now we have very few youth. Really, we have very few youth. Our kids are stronger than our youth, but I'd like to see us start something like that. But I really believe that every member of our church ought to be ministering somewhere. And again, if you're not a member of our church, I mean, like, why not? Let's join. Let's join the church. Honestly, there's certain things you cannot do as a non-member. There's just certain things we just can't let you do because there's accountability. And, you know, it's amazing to me, people want to join clubs, but they hesitate joining the church. It's like, come on. This is the most important thing to join. I'd encourage you to do that. So the two that we looked at this morning, all hands on deck, the devil's trying to sink our ship. Secondly, all hands on deck, we've got lots to accomplish and little time left to do it. Now, the next two are somewhat related, so I hope you're still with me. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Okay, I've given specific instructions based upon what Teresa told me she saw on the Facebook. They're up there with pea shooters, and they're very good at throwing the ball, too. So they have balls to throw and pea shooters to shoot at you if they see you not off. So just let that enter into your brain, just in case you think. Now, I think, what's that? Yeah, she told a meme about the kids on the balcony, and I think it was the preacher's kids, wasn't it? So hey, it fits right in perfectly. So I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be hit by one of the. We played dodgeball, or a form of dodgeball. Man, Ryan and Jason, they both got fantastic arms. It's like it's coming in at 100 miles an hour, it seems. So this, I'm just telling you, just for your own good, do not go to sleep, okay? tonight, point number three is what we're looking at. All hands on deck. There's a rescue mission that we must undertake. All hands on deck. There's a rescue mission that we must undertake. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Boys, you got those balls ready up there? Okay, good. I hope no one's listening in thinking, boy, that's some church. I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. They could tell me our viewership went from 4 to 0, just like that. All right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. All hands on deck, there's a rescue mission that we must undertake. Notice what it says in the Bible. Talking about Jesus, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You think about the people that you know in this world that are lost. Aren't they a lot like that? They're fainting. They're scattered. They don't have any direction, and they have no shepherd, nothing to guide them. You know, if you don't have the Word of God and God Himself to guide you, what do you let guide you? And if it's public opinion, that's kind of a hard thing to nail down to, right? Because it can change. I'm thankful for the Word of God as my standard. I'm thankful that I have a Savior that says these are the standards. This is what I expect of you. This is how you're supposed to live. This is sinful. This is good. And I can discern that. But you know what? The lost world is moving around and they have no direction. They don't have any clue. It's up to us to rescue them. Jesus said he looked upon them and was moved with compassion. You know, too often we as Christians, and I find myself at moments doing this. So I'm not up here holier than thou saying, oh, well, I never. I mean, you see some of these evil people doing evil things that are against God's word. And my first thought is, man, I tell you what, that's terrible. You know, and you just kind of get a little bit angry inside. And we should be, don't misunderstand me, we should be righteously indignant, really. But eventually it ought to turn to compassion. And we ought to say, you know what, but God loves them. God loves them. And it helps me in my brain to say, and I've said it quite often, they are not the enemy, they are victims of the enemy. And if anybody is going to reach them, it's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And we need to reach and go out of our way. But Jesus saw them, had compassion on them, because they were wandering around like chickens with their heads cut off, basically. And That's the New Revised Stephen Delay version there. I'm just saying that's basically what it's saying. They didn't have any direction. But listen to what he says to his disciples. Then saith he, Jesus, unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Wow. Now when you read that, the harvest truly is plenteous. You know, the harvest, I know I've heard people say in particular that probably Jesus had used a lot of object lessons, probably was near a field that was near being ripe. You know, the harvest was ready to take in, and he may have said, hey, look, the harvest is ready. The harvest truly is plenteous. Just look around. And they're in their brain thinking, And he's saying there's souls that are ready to be saved. There's souls that are ready to be harvested. But the laborers, that's us. The laborers are few. Boy, he nailed it there, didn't he? The laborers are few. And even sometimes Christians, people that know the Lord, they're like, no, that's not my area. I'm sorry, evangelism is everybody's area. I'm sorry, but sharing the gospel is everybody's area. I'm sorry, but being a testimony for Jesus is everybody's area. So we need to make sure that we're part of the workforce, that all hands are on deck to say, you know what? I see our mission and I'll be part of our mission. And when we start a visitation program in our church, you're there and say, yes, sir, Jesus, I'm ready to go. Where do you want me to go? You say, preacher, that kind of stuff scares me. Well, that's all right. Most things that are worthwhile in life scare us, at least at first. I'm telling you, can I be honest? I might be being too honest here. You go home and say, yeah, preacher, we thought he was something, but he's really a rotten rascal. But can I tell you? You got that ball ready up there? Hit that guy. Hit that ball with that ball, would you? Hey, Tim, stand up there and look around. Look at Tim. This is the new Tim again. Look, there's nothing up there, and there ain't nothing there either. I said, what happened? Did it fall out? He said, no, he shaved it. You're happy that it's gone, aren't you? Yeah, she's happy that it's gone. I got that impression. Okay, where was I going with this? Whenever it comes to soul winning, whenever it comes to talking to strangers, I'm telling you, usually in my heart, there's a little bit of fear. So you say, preacher, you've been doing this a long time, and you're a preacher. But still, there's a little bit of fear. And you know, I figured out, I believe, where that fear comes. I think the devil puts that fear in my heart. But normally what happens, we're even talking going door to door with totally strangers. Knock on one door and say, hey, we just want to invite you to Oak Mound, and do you know Jesus, perhaps, or however far we decide we're going to try to take it, right? I mean, we're talking with total strangers, but when you do it a time or two or three or four, you just kind of get into it. You're like, yeah, I'm doing this for Jesus. And the fear goes away. So if, or let's say when, we start doing more stuff like that, now, don't be a wimp, okay? Say, you know what? I'm going to be strong for Jesus. And the emphasis of the, and Olivia can vouch for this, and Ryan, Jason, and Amy, a big emphasis of the speaker this week at camp was, you know what? It's the Lord's strength. It's not our strength. He is the vine. We are the branches. And we draw our strength from him. So, all hands on deck, there's a rescue mission that we must undertake. But I'm not even through reading the verse. Verse 38, but pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. You know, we need to pray, but we need to be part of the workforce too. All hands on deck. We have a rescue mission to take care of. Seriously. Now you think about how many churches are actively trying to reach the lost. The churches are getting fewer and fewer that are still preaching the gospel. So that eliminates those that don't have the true gospel right there, because they're not going to lead anybody to Jesus because they don't even know the gospel themselves. So if you eliminate it to just those, or limit it to those who are preaching and teaching the gospel, I'm telling you, there's not too many of us left to share the gospel. So that should make us even more diligent to say, you know what? We got a rescue mission. In this ship that we're on called Oak Mound Evangelical Church, we have a mission. We have a mission to go to the lost because the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. All hands on deck, there's a rescue mission that we must undertake. You know, there's over 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion. Now, million, I can kind of get my brain around that a little bit, but billion's really beyond my brain. Some of you are surprised by me saying that million I can get my brain around. You figured that 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 was about the limit of this brain. But actually, a billion, that's a lot of people. And I know that these numbers are skewed, but from what I read, and you can find about anything on the internet, but 2.4 billion claim some form of Christianity. 2.4 billion. I would guarantee you that a huge chunk of that truly do not know Jesus as Savior, but they claim some form of Christianity. But even if you buy into the fact, okay, that they very well are Christian, you take 8 billion, take away 2.4, that leaves 5.6 billion. 5.6 billion people, and I think the number is really a lot higher, that need to be reached with the gospel. All hands on deck. There's a rescue mission that we must undertake. Have you heard of the mercy ships? The mercy ships? Now, I don't know a whole lot about that other than the general idea behind it. But now I understand they have two ships and they sail around the world to provide help to people. That group has been around since 1978. And these are like hospital ships. And they dock somewhere, and then they actually perform surgeries. They have volunteers, professional volunteers, and they do surgeries for the people at that port for free, I suppose. You know, in a lot of ways, that's what we need to do on this ship we call Oak Mound. We have the responsibility to reach the world. And we need to let them know that their lives can be healed, can be turned around because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All hands on deck. There's a rescue mission that we must undertake. The last point in this series, all hands on deck. There's many seas that we must sail. There are many seas that we must sail. I'm not talking about the letter C. I'm talking about seas of water. Related to the point we just looked at, but a little different emphasis. In Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. We know this as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. In other words, this is what Jesus has commissioned his disciples to be doing. Again, it's related back to what we talked about, a rescue mission, but a little different emphasis here. All hands on deck, there's many seas that we must sail. If you would follow along, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now, these are the last words of the Gospel of Matthew. And it says something very similar in the other Gospels as well. When Jesus was about ready to ascend back to heaven. Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now listen to this, and I think we should take this very personal. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, in this great commission, I believe it's the responsibility of every Christian. Now, am I saying that every Christian is called to go to a foreign nation to share the gospel? I will say no, I do not believe that every Christian is called to do that. But I will put a little asterisk next to that and drop down and say, but a lot are called that do not go. Amen. I mean, when's the last time that God called a missionary out of Oak Mound Church? Anybody remember? When's the last time? So what type of churches should missionaries be called out of? church is just like Oak Mound. So it's kind of like head scratcher. Is God not calling people to be missionaries anymore, or are we just not listening? I think a lot of times we're just not listening. But even if you say, beyond a shadow of doubt, I know God's not calling me. God has called me in this direction, and this is the direction I'm going. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, I'd be the first to tell you, you do what God wants you to do. If it's in full-time ministry as a pastor, praise the Lord. If it's in full-time ministry as a missionary, praise the Lord. You do what God wants you to do. All hands on deck, right? You do what God has called you to do. But I do believe that there's a lot of preachers been called that say, I'm comfortable. That'll rock my world. That'll take me out of my comfort zone. I think there have been missionaries called, and they're like, nope. Yeah, I'd have to give up this, and this. This will change, and this will be difficult. It's never the right thing to say no to God's calling. But having said that, if you're here and you say, no, I never felt called to the mission field. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. But still, this commission is personal. It's our responsibility to see that the gospel reaches the whole world. You know, we can have tunnel vision and say, you know, well, it's just me, my three, and no more. Or me, my four, and no more. That way it rhymes, right? Me, my four, and no more. I'm not worried about anybody else. It is our responsibility to reach the world with the gospel. It says there in that verse, go ye therefore and teach what? All nations. All nations. You say, well, preacher, I wasn't called, so how can I support missions around the world? Well, there's ways you can do that. Do you pray for missionaries? You know, there's a lot of missionaries that need prayer. You know, you can pray in a very general way, or you can get those things, and we have a few of them back there called prayer cards. And they're missionaries that are out on the field. They're right in the trenches, right up front line, sharing the gospel in foreign cultures. You know, you could take a prayer card. I know we have at least two or three, or at least some of them back there. I know they've been back there at one point or another. Take those prayer cards and commit to pray for those people that are going places that we were not called to do. And we can also support them financially. And I think I've mentioned this several times in our administrative board. I think our missions, we need to look at our missions a little bit and the way we're doing missions and who we're supporting in missions. And we need to tweak that a little bit. And we need to perhaps pick up more missionaries. And I believe God would bless us if we would stretch our mission budget a bit and start supporting more missionaries. Because if we're not called to go, we need to at least support those who are going. And I admit, I could do a lot better job of emphasizing missions, and I'll try to do better at that. But you know what? Those are brothers and sisters in Christ that are going around the world, and they need us. We've had some missionaries in here since I've been here. Not a lot, but a few. And we have the opportunity to join in with them to help reach people in different cultures and countries around the world. Now, I know missions are local, and missions are national, and local missions are also international. And I've said quite often, you've probably heard me say this, it's not a matter of either or. Well, we support local missions. That's good. And some might say, no, we support international missions. You know, it's not either or. I think it's both and. And everything in between. I mean, we need to support me because we have a message that needs to go out. You see, we are commissioned. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's us. And again, if we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? I believe that God would have us all hands on deck and say, preacher, how can we support missions better? I think God will give us wisdom and direction in that, don't you? You know, there's over 50 seas, S-E-A-S, seas around the world. There's seven oceans, some call them the seven seas. There's the Arctic, the North Atlantic, the South Atlantic, the Indian, the North Pacific, the South Pacific, and the Southern or Antarctic Ocean. And when we put it in the context of the church, we put it in context of a ship, we have lots of people, many seas that we need to sail to make sure that those people hear the gospel. You know, we're so blessed to be in our country and be in West Virginia where there's so many churches and the gospel. I mean, someone had to tell you the gospel, right? Or brought you up in church or one, something along those lines, right? So you heard the gospel. Don't you think every person in this world should hear the gospel? All hands on deck. There's many seas that we must sail. All hands on deck. I really believe, and I will say as the captain of this ship, if you will, this time for all hands to be on deck. Seriously. I'll have to say that one of my biggest frustrations in ministry, and I imagine that most preachers would probably tell you this, you know, the lost world acts like the lost world. So they act exactly pretty much the way I think they are going to act. But what really upsets we preachers is people that say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I know Jesus. But they don't really show it. That's a frustration. Because, you know, do you realize what we could do as a church if everybody, even every person who's a member of our church, would just really get the concept of all hands on deck? That, you know, the devil's trying to sink our ship. So I want to get right in there because I don't want anything to happen to Oak Mound. I want Oak Mound to keep on going for as long as the Lord it tarries. I want to see it keep on going for my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. But they seem to be clueless to the fact that without their support and their encouragement and their attendance, that there's a very good chance this church will kick the bucket somewhere along the line. And again, I'm not a drama king. You know, I'm not just saying that, but a lot of churches have gone that way. But they seem like, oh, I love Oak Mound. Well, if you love Oak Mound so much, why aren't you here? You say, preacher, you're just mean. No, I'm not mean to be mean. I love you. And I love those that are on the fringes of our church. But I would not be a pastor that's worth his weight in anything, salt, if I didn't tell you that we're going to give an account. And every one of us needs to be plugged in, all hands on deck. The devil's trying to sink our ship, all hands on deck. We've got lots to accomplish and very little time to do it. All hands on deck tonight we looked at. There's a rescue mission that we must undertake. Man, we got to rescue those around us that are lost. Rescue mission. And the last point tonight, all hands on deck. There's many seas that we must sail. We have the responsibility of missions. And God may call some of them in our church to be missionaries. I mean, that's sometimes it's kind of hard to figure. I know the second church I pastored down in Williamstown, it was amazing. I mean, they figured up. There was like 20-some people had been called into full-time service from that church. 20-some people. And again, this is not meant, I'm not, I mean, I know it sounds like it, like I'm comparing and that church is so spiritual and this one, you know, I'm not saying that at all because we got a lot of things going for us they did not have for going for them. But it's kind of amazing that I've not heard anyone in this church say, you know, this one was called into ministry from this church. There might be, maybe I've just missed it, but there's not too many. There's not too many. I think we need to realize that it's our responsibility to reach the world with the gospel. All hands on deck. Are you on deck? Are you on deck? You know, ready, serving for the Lord with a sense of urgency. I guess my question is a Christian. You say, I'm a Christian. Could you be more urgent for the cause of Christ? Could you be more urgent to say, you know what? I need to be doing better for the Lord. In our ship we call Oak Mound Evangelical Church, prayers are big. I hope you pray for your church. I hope you pray for your pastor. I hope you pray for your Sunday school teacher and your deacons and your elder. I hope you pray for all the officers that are listed back there. I hope you pray for all the ministries of the church. Are you all in? Are all hands on deck? I hope that you, every one of us, can turn it up a notch and say, you know what, I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to be more faithful to the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to tell more people about Jesus. And maybe God would say, you know what? God's even talking to my heart about giving more to the church. You know, we waste it quite a bit. We waste it sending people to camp. We waste it sending juniors to teen camp. We waste it on that thing called Vacation Bible School where kids got saved. But I hope. God has spoken to your heart. Whether you've responded physically with your body or not, I hope in your heart at least that God has said, you know what, all hands on deck. Maybe God has said, you know what, you can turn it up a notch. You can turn it up a notch or two in your service for the Lord. I'm telling you, it's urgent. It really is urgent. People are not flocking to churches anymore. People are not, you put up a revival poster, people are not going to show up because they're just coming to your revival. I mean, you can knock on their door, you can text them, you can phone call them and whatever, and you still can't get people to come to church, hardly. So, if you're not faithful, who's going to be faithful? It's time to get a sense of urgency. I said many times, it's like we live our lives like this world is forever. And eternity is just kind of someone's figment of imagination or in someone's figment of their imagination. I think I'm saying that right. But it's just not real. If that's the case, we got it backwards. We need to constantly remind ourselves that what's really important is eternity, not the things of this world. Not the things of this world. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, we're going to sing a song. You move as God leads you tonight. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for the messages we preached this morning and tonight. And we pray, Lord, that we've preached them as you would have us to speak to our hearts. May all of us turn it up a notch. Lord, as we've made the analogy of this Oak Mount Evangelical Church being a ship, and Lord, how we need all hands on deck. Lord, just help us to realize where we may be lacking, where we could be more faithful, whether it be in prayer, whether it be in reading your word, whether it be in supporting the ministries of the church or whatever, being more faithful to church, whatever ministry or whatever area you're speaking to us in. I pray that you'll help us to do business with you and respond tonight as you speak to our hearts. And Lord, if there's any that are lost that may be here, not sure they're on their way to heaven, Lord, I pray that they may just call out to you sincerely from their heart. Lord, if they're listening in, call out sincerely from their heart and say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me, and he is now my Savior. I claim him as my Savior. He'll be my leader. Lord, I pray that they'll call out to you in true salvation tonight. Lord, the invitation is yours. Just speak to our hearts, and Lord, help us to do our part and to listen and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.